Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from today's gospel, especially where Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, change of any kind usually is not quick, especially personal change. There's not usually a really quick solution, a quick fix to ourselves. And it just takes time and adversity in many cases. Now in this text, Jesus is telling his disciples not how they're going to change themselves. He's telling them how he's going to change them to make them members of his kingdom. And when you read the text and last week's text, you can see the incredible need there is for change with the disciples. Last week, Jesus had, the verse before this, Jesus got a little kid, and he's saying to them, "You must receive this child. You must serve this child instead of being served. You need to be humble." And then the next thing out of a disciple's mouth is, "Hey, Jesus, we caught this guy casting demons out, and we tried to stop him." I hadn't heard a thing Jesus had just said. Now, why would they have a problem with this guy casting demons out? I think the only reason is because he's successful. Remember the last time the disciples took a crack at casting a demon out? Didn't work too well, did it? Right. So, this guy's making them look kind of foolish. And not only that, we can glean from the words that are said back then when they failed to cast the demon out, and here, you can see where the problem's arising. So after they couldn't cast the demon out, then the disciples said to Jesus, "Why couldn't we do it?" And he said, "Well, this kind can only be driven out by prayer." Now the problem word there is "we." Why couldn't we do it? Jesus could have very easily said, "Well, what are you talking about, we? Okay, you never cast a demon out. It's all been done by my power." And now in this text, what does he say? "Well, we caught this guy casting demons out, and so we tried to stop him because he didn't follow us." And if I was Jesus, I'd say, what's all this us talk, right? Who's following us? Is anybody following you guys? No. Me. You're following me. Now, you see what the disciples have fallen into. They know they're part of the kingdom that Jesus is, constantly teaching them about, and yet they think they have a franchise on the kingdom, that they own it. They decide who's in and who's out. Instead of being thankful for the grace that God has shown them that put them in the kingdom in the first place. So, first thing Jesus says is, okay, if he's not against us, he's for us, so leave him alone, right? He's just doing what you should have done. And secondly, now let's get back to the point I was trying to make when you interrupted me. And then he still has this child in front of him, right? And he says, "Whoever causes one of the little ones like this," and then he uses some very dramatic language. I kind of hope the kid, did the earmuffs, before Jesus started talking about cutting things off. But he says, it's better to cut your hand off and cut your feet out, tear your eyeball out, than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now, why does Jesus use such dramatic language? It wasn't that far before this that Jesus said to them, sin does not come from outside a person, it comes from inside a person. So hacking off hands and feet and pulling out eyes isn't going to stop you from sinning. The problem of sin is not so much that we do it, it's that that is what we are. We're sinners. So why does Jesus use this dramatic language? He wants to get the disciples' attention. Notice how he kind of starts up very general. He says, "Whoever," anybody, whoever does this. But then he says, "It'd be better for you to cut off your hand, and you to cut off your feet, and you to rip out your eye." Other than that, it's you going to hell. The word used for hell there is Gehenna. It's translated as the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, and it was the place where Ahaz and Manasseh sacrificed children to their false gods. Now, this was seen as the epitome of evil. And Jesus is saying, if you stumble, then they stumble. And that's the road to hell. It's a very serious thing. Now, what could possibly be the solution to this problem? There's a real easy solution, just so you know, real quick. Don't stumble, right? We just don't sin. Isn't that great? See how easy that was? And I've actually seen videotapes of workshops where people attempt to do this, where they sit down with paper and pencil and they write out strategies that they're to follow so that they stop sinning as much. And day by day by day, they get to the point where they don't sin at all, they think. There are no quick solutions. One of my favorite shows of all time is Beverly Hillbillies. I try to keep the illustrations down to a minimum, but I'm going to use it. My favorite episode, I think, is, well, my favorite episodes is when Granny, you know, pretends to be a doctor. And it's the one where the next door neighbor, Milburn Drysdale, banker, gets a bad cold, goes to see his doctor. Doctor's no help at all. He says, look, there's no cure for the common cold. Just eat sensibly, get plenty of rest, in 7 to 10 days, you'll feel better. Then he finds out that Granny has a miracle cure for the common cold. And everybody makes fun of her, right, and demeans her and stuff like that, until finally, by the end, a pharmaceutical company is going to take her miracle and start producing it. And then people are apologetic. And Mr. Drysdale says, I'm sorry, I really didn't believe you had something like this. And she goes, it works every time. You take a tablespoon of my miracle elixir, eat sensibly, get plenty of rest, and in 7 to 10 days, you'll feel fine. Of course, that's kind of the joke. Because there is no cure for the common cold, okay? It takes time. This is what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. Everything in the disciples' makeup is fighting against everything Jesus says about being servants, about carrying your own cross, about humbling yourself. And yet, by the book of Acts, we can see the disciples are starting to live that way. How did that happen? Jesus says it in this text. They were salted with fire. Now, to be honest with you, over the, 30-some years of my ministry, the illustration I dislike the most that Jesus uses is salt. It took me a long time to try to figure out what he's talking about. And I always thought, boy, if he just watched the Beverly Hillbillies, he'd have great illustrations, you know, that makes sense. But salt? If salt loses its saltiness, it's not salty, how do you make salt it's salty again? See, I just never got that. But I finally found in Matthew chapter 5 a kind of a link to help me understand that. Because Jesus links light with salt. And what makes light distinctive? It's when it's in darkness. The light is distinctive because it shines in the darkness. And how about salt? You ever known anybody to put salt on their watermelon? You ever seen that? Well, in the Midwest, everybody did it. And I could not understand that. And finally, I asked a lady, why are you putting salt on your watermelon? Well, she also put, people in the Midwest also cover everything with ranch dressing. I don't get that either. But, you know, salt on watermelon, doesn't it just make it taste salty? And she goes, no, it just makes it taste more like watermelon. And that's what salt does. It enhances flavor. That's why it is distinctive. Now, there is no easy solution here. We can't just follow some strategy and have Bible verses in our mind and then we'll keep from sinning and never sin and never stumble. It doesn't work that way. We are salted by fire, which means in times of adversity, we become a distinctive people. If you want an example, and I've gone through this a number of times, of how distinctive Christians are because of what God has done in our life, just sit in a room full of people who are non-Christians as their loved one dies. And then sit in a room filled with Christians as their loved one dies. In the one room, there's hopelessness and there's fear and there's despair. And in the other room, there is hope. There is a faith to look forward into the future and there is a comfort that is unknown. That's what it means to be distinctive. No easy solution. Salted by fire means that we go through adversity and we face difficult times. And yet when we lose a loved one, we turn to Christ and he comforts us with the resurrection. And when we're afraid, we turn to him and he cares for us. And when we sin, we turn to him and he forgives that sin. And day by day and moment by moment of our life, God is chipping away from us the things that shouldn't be there. And the more he does that, the more the light that shines in us from him shines out of us into the lives of others. And the clearer our faith becomes that Jesus is the only way. And that faith also allows us to rejoice and be at peace in what the Lord has made us. In Jesus' name, amen. This time now we receive our offering.